Welcome to the Change Your World Virtual Summit, brought to you today by the Public Speakers Association. I'm so excited to introduce to you the most amazing, the most incredible woman you will ever know, Miss Norma Hollis. Norma, why don't you take it from here?
Thank you, Tanya. I appreciate it and love the opportunity to always be on anything that you offer. PSA has been quite a value to me since I found you about 2 years ago. 2 years ago, right about almost 2 years exactly, and have been a part of it. And I'm just so impressed with your great energy and all that you do for speakers. So I'm very glad to be a part of your organization. Thank you for having me. And I would like to encourage you, listeners today, to please feel free to make this call interactive. And you can do that by pushing *2, and that will raise your hand, and Tanya will unmute you and allow you to ask questions and give feedback. I love, 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 love answering questions and providing more clarity for individuals. And since the person after me is not available today, we can stretch this longer. I'll stretch it a little bit, but I'm not going to stretch it for the whole time unless you ask questions, which I would be more than happy to answer. So as Tanya said, my name is Norma Hollis. I have been in the speaking industry for about 20 years. I came into it as a bureau owner. I was the first African-American woman to own a bureau for ethnic speakers, and specifically I featured African-American speakers under the name of Speakers Etc. and an online directory under the name of Black Speakers Online. And that was, back in 96, so I guess that's 20 years, just about. So in that time, not only did I own a bureau, but I've been coaching speakers for that entire time, speakers who are just beginning, as well as speakers who are seasoned professionals. I have done events. I have, as Tanya mentioned, MC, Herd Event, and many, many others. I have spoken on a number of stages. I've done telesummits. So, you know, pretty much everything you can do in a bureau, do in the speaking industry, I've had some experience or background in. So I come to you with a broad background, a broad understanding, a great love of speaking, and a great desire to make a difference in people's lives and to help others to do the same. As a matter of fact, I would even say that my mission in life is to help people find their message and share the message, because I think all of us have a message to share. And if we have a message, share it for other people and make a difference. So over the years of my being in the speaking industry and watching it grow, it has grown phenomenally. You know, in the beginning when I started, the internet was not popular then, and we were just getting started with speakers. Their college markets and other markets were very hot and very popular. And what speakers generally did was show up and share their message. And usually it was either behind a podium or with a microphone, headset, or some way of one speaker to a large or small audience. And they would put their own style in and do the speaking experience in a way that they felt was appropriate for them. And in this period of time of 20 years, I came to understand that one of the challenges that so many speakers have in finding success in the industry is knowing how to sequence themselves, because you get people marketing many, many things to you. And as speakers, we're very creative anyway, and we want great success. And we step into a marketing program, for example, which is usually a very good program, but it may not be time for you to do that yet. So I put together a process called Rapid Speaking System. And I just want to share that briefly. You'll find that also with other programs I've done with Tanya. But I want to bring it up now because I want to show you where the GAMES approach fits in the RAPID system so you can see the organization of it. So the RAPID speaking system is based on the acronym of the word RAPID, R-A-P-I-D with an S. And it also identifies the sequencing of the order in which you should accomplish things as a speaker. If you don't get all the information now written down, then go back to Tanya's tabs and look at the archives, and you'll see that I've done some before about the RAPID speaking system. So R stands for what's your real message? Who's the authentic you? My platform is authenticity, so almost anything I talk about is going to have authenticity laced in there somewhere. And the way I lace it into speaking with the R is the real you, your authentic you. And finding your basic message is key to growing anything in the speaking industry. The A is who's your audience, your target market. The P is your presentation, your style, and your energy. And today we're going to be talking about the P, the energy and the style that you can speak and share your message outside of what's been the norm for 20 years and doing something very original. The I stands for income, which is your speaking fee as well as your products. The D is distribution, which is then is when you do your marketing. And then it's the S, which is your systems. And the systems are woven through all the other letters because you want to build systems throughout the entire process. So what we're talking about today is the games approach to speaking. And that fits again in the P, which is all about presentation. And presentation is all about your energy and your content. Your energy and your content. Your content meaning the message that you're sharing, and the energy meaning how you share it on stage or otherwise. Now, let me just divert for a minute and go to another topic just to show you, to validate why a games approach would be valuable for speakers to consider. So, you know, the world, of course, as you know, is built on corporations manufacturing and doing things and employees in corporations doing the work that needs to be done to make corporations run. And research recently on corporate employment, employees within corporate environments, there's a word that is popular, which is the word is engagement. And engagement means being involved, being happy, being engaged in what you do. And the research currently shows that within America alone, the number of employees overall in the entire United States who are engaged in work is only 30%, which means that 70% of the employees, 7 out of 10 people in any organization or most organizations in general, are not engaged in what they're doing. They're just going through the motions. They're showing up to get the check. And they're not engaged, they're not involved, they don't have a connection, if you will, with it, what it is they're doing, just going through the motions. Maybe some of you are in that position, or maybe you know some people who are in that position where you have to work. And in corporate America, as in many jobs, sometimes you spend so much time in there that you sometimes lose sight of your own authenticity and who you are, and you lose the engagement that keeps people active. And I want to go a step further. I haven't seen any research on this, but I would also suggest that in many ways, people are not engaged in life. People go through the motions. They go through the day-to-day activities. They go through the stress of getting to work and doing the job. You know, they come home fix dinner and watch TV and go to bed and get up and do the same thing. And the engagement, the involvement, the interaction that years ago, decades ago, maybe even centuries ago, is what really was the spark that kept life going has changed a bit. So much of this, particularly at work, has a lot to do with our change in society from an industrial society, which, of course, we've moved out of, to an information society. In an information society, engagement is required because people want you not just for your ability to use your hands to do something and put something together, but they hire you for your ability to think and to make decisions and to be engaged. And so as a speaker coming into an environment, I would think that what you would want to at least think about is how engaging is your presentation? How can your presentation engage others? And how can you leave, particularly a corporate environment, more engaged so that maybe that environment finds a one person to move their percentages to 40% who are engaged rather than 30%? So you can get 1 out of 10 to gain more engagement. And this is something that you may want to be thinking about and figuring out how you can assist with this whole engagement issue. Dealing with engagement is pervasive And I would even guess that in the schools, there's probably a similar number of children, particularly in high school, who are also disengaged. In fact, it's probably interesting to look at children engagement from the time of kindergarten, when they're excited to get started and learn something and get into the world, to high school, when they've been into the world a bit and things have changed. Anyway, I just want to put that foundation so that you can begin to look at why a different approach to speaking might be something you want to consider. So the other thing to think about is that it's always important for speakers to stay new and cutting edge, to know what's going out, what's going on, to know something, new ways of doing things, and to give them a try. And for me, I'm always seeking the new and unusual because I love the opportunity to be original, to surprise people, and to give them greater engagement. So for me, I as I mentioned to you earlier, my background and my platform is all about authenticity. And in my authenticity platform, I created what I call a grid, which is 9 areas that make a person authentic. And I've had quite a challenge over the years. It took me 30 years, 35 years to put this together. And it's a humongous amount of information that's interconnected and, you know, very valuable. I've got great feedback on it. But I really have had the challenge of figuring out what's going to be the best way for me to get this out there in the world. What's going to be – I've done it before. I've gone across the country and I've sat around and done different events in different cities and done it through lecture form. And I've had other people that I've trained, my ambassadors and my coaches and my facilitators, and they've also delivered the information. And all of us pretty much deliver it in the same way, with or without a PowerPoint. We give an assessment. We use our own energy and style to tell about our stories and our experiences, and it works well. But it didn't, to me, get me to the depth of where I wanted to get with people, because authenticity is about self-awareness, and that's about going deep into yourself and really understanding and knowing who you are. And, you know, the GAMES approach I started doing in January, I was just amazed at the results I'm getting. The best way that I can explain the value of the GAMES approach is to use a quote from Plato a long time ago. And Plato said, "You can learn more about someone in a day of play versus a year of dialogue." You can learn more about someone from a day of play than a year of dialogue. So when I thought about that, you know, I can sit and I can talk and I can teach authenticity and I can teach and talk about and lecture about self-awareness and I can tell you stories about things of that nature. But when I really saw the lights come on with the people that I work with is when I gave them the game that caused them to see themselves and deal with themselves in a different way. It was just phenomenal. Even for myself, you know, I've been running organizations pretty much my entire career. And, you know, every boss has their pros and their cons, and I'm no different. And one of the things that people have told me about myself in the past is that I don't always give clear and thorough directions. I don't always share the big picture. My big picture changes a lot, and it's kind of big. And I did not in the past always see the need to share the biggest picture. You know, just here's what I need you to do and here's where it's going to lead to, but I got the big picture. I got that. We know it'll all fit together. But when I played a game, the first time I went to a games program, and I played a game, and I was one of what would have been one of my employees or people working with me, and I was not given the big picture, and I was lost. I was at, like, what? I don't get it. I don't. How can I contribute my best when I don't know? And that's when the lights went on. And I said, oh, my gosh, that's me. That's how I do my people. No wonder they get confused sometimes. No wonder they don't meet my expectations. And when I could see that through playing, then I could modify it. You know, my first career was early childhood. And what we learn in preschool is that play is a child's work. We learn to know the child by watching them play. Well, I just want to ask us adults, when did that change? When did we become so serious about work and about life and about money and responsibility that we forgot to play? Because just as we learn about children by watching them play, we learn about each other by watching each other play. So the games approach, what that means in many ways is many things. It means it's interactive. It means that you're involved, you have activity going on. It's not necessarily one person in front of the room talking to everyone else who's just sitting there and listening. It may mean that for some point in some parts of it, but it's not a static environment where one person is standing in front lecturing and everybody else is listening. It's a more engaging, interactive experience. And in many cases, it involves deep interaction with everyone in the room. Games can be of many different types. So one type of game is a full-out game, and I'm going to tell you about some of those that I've done in just a minute. And these can be full-day or multi-day. I have done, since January, 2 full-day games that have been very well received, and we're getting ready to do a multi-day day of training, 3 days in January of 2016. Which I'll tell you about and tell you how you can be involved and what the value would be for you participating in that. So some games are done where there are groups that might work in teams, and some games are done where each individual is learning on their own. And in some games, groups speak or individuals speak, so sometimes games also grow speaking skills. Games give you an opportunity to see how you and others on your team think, how you problem solve, how your critical thinking skills are. You also get a chance to see how people communicate, how they share information, how they share messages, how they share emotional feelings, how they share their knowledge. You also get a chance to see how people go into action, who stands up and stands in the leadership position, who says, I'll take care of that role, who is not a good leader, who really is a better follower than a leader. You get a chance to just see people in real-life actions. So let me tell you about the game that I did in, well, the two games that I did. One of them was called, well, these are, well, the two games that I've done have been both full-out games. The games that I'm doing are what I call full-out games. And what a full-out game is when you are, you change the entire environment of the room. I just love it. In both cases, I do my full-day games in three parts. It's educate, engage, and empower. And the educate part is where we give information. We all educate. That's what most of us do when we speak. We educate. We give information. We share. And we see how they respond and give feedback from them through watching them and get more information. We don't always engage when we are in front of a group. So the engagement part that I do is where I set myself apart and where the games piece comes in. In one of the games that I did, the engage part took everyone to ancient Egypt. When they came in the room after their break, the music was changed. There was music on, and it was music from ancient Egypt. In front of the room, they saw Maat, the goddess Maat, in full costume with her wings. And they also saw the pharaoh, Sete I. And they also saw the pharaoh's vizier, who's like the mayor back in those days. And everyone's dressed in costume. And as a matter of fact, on the wall, we even had animals. I mean, wrong game. Back that up. So and we also had a treasurer who was in charge of the gold coins and the other things that were available. So the objective of this particular game was for people to see what inspires them, what causes you and what motivates you, inspires you to do well. What's the driving point? Are you motivated, inspired when you are stroked and encouraged? Are you motivated, inspired when you are thrashed, or not physically in this case, but let's talk about maybe mental thrashing or verbal thrashing. Are you inspired and motivated by pressure from external sources, from internal sources? It gives you a chance to look at different ways that you're inspired to get things accomplished. And that's done by putting people in groups and having them with the assignment of creating a statue for King Sete. And they're given different materials that they can purchase. They're given some gold coins to start with, and they can purchase some materials to make a statue. And in the process, the king is going around talking to these different groups, and in some cases he's encouraging, in some cases he's demoralizing. He's using different ways to get people to see how they respond. And it's just so interesting to see how people respond to different ways that works. There's so many ways that this game can be played. For example, the Pharaoh could be the leader of the organization, the leader of the team. See how he works, how people respond to that as you're going through the game and playing the game and moderating the game. Leader is a female, that could be Maat, and that role could be played. You're looking at how people negotiate, how they use their creative skills, how they become innovative. Now, I could spend all day doing a lecture on innovation. I could do a lecture on cooperation and communication. But none of that would impact to the audience what they experience themselves by going through the game. That's the value of a game. Now, the other game that we did was called the Masquerade Game. This is one of my favorite games. And as a matter of fact, I did a modification of this game at Tanya's event last June. And this particular event, this particular game, it focuses on what I call legacy. And in authenticity, legacy refers to the gifts and talents you were born with, the legacy that was given to you at the time of your birth. And in this particular game, the focus is also on self-awareness. So you get an opportunity to pick a mask and hide yourself, and you get a chance to select a character, and your team gets a chance to create a play where they represent this character, and you do all this as you expose your highest natural gifts and talents. It's a lot of fun. And just, from my viewpoint, watching people play the game and go through the exercise and the experiences is just phenomenal. And you'll have that, too, when you have a chance to get into games and play them. Now, the game for the Masquerade, this is the one where I have animals on the wall, so it's a carnival. And I am Pinky from the Chic and Unique Carnival, seeking speaker groups to add to my carnival program. And it's a theme. It's great that we have music coming in. We have the balloons and other ways of celebrating a carnival and that whole environment. And people come and they're very festive and it's very engaging because they're involved. They have to perform. So I could spend a day talking to them about the gifts and talents that they may have been blessed to have and where their strengths lie and how important it is to use your gifts and talents in the world. And by knowing your gifts and talents is a great way to know yourself. And all these would be great. And this is how most of us do as speakers. But imagine having a chance to really use your gifts and talents in a group of people that you don't really know and to express yourself in a skit and then to learn more about yourself. The comment I got so much from that particular game is, my gosh, I had a chance to know myself better, and number two, when's your next game? I am so delighted with the responses I'm getting from the Masquerade game and Maat's Harmony game and all the other games that we're developing and getting ready to roll out, that I'm excited about having the opportunity to help other people either create games for their own programs or even more so become a part of what I'm doing to help get games out there in the world. In the years that I've had my bureau, what I've also been doing is developing this entire authenticity program that I mentioned to you earlier. And in so doing, I have other people that I have trained on these concepts that took me 30 to 35 years to put together and then understand and then figure out what to do with and now package and now market and get out there in the world. Very interesting. And in the process, I've met a number of people who are really jazzed on this entire authenticity concept and what it means to them and to the world. And some of them I have trained and certified as ambassadors who help me train other people, as facilitators who speak and share the message with other people, and as coaches who coach other people. And this is what I'm going to be delving into deeply, and I'm actively looking for speakers and coaches and trainers who would like to be a part of a network that engages them in an environment that engages other people. We want people to be more engaged in life, and we want people to be more engaged in work. We're very much convinced that this world would be a better place if speakers really engage more people and people use some of the benefits that speakers share. I don't think the world, like any of us, would like to see it continue. We want to see it get better, not worse. And one way we can do that, that we're finding that that's happening, is through this entire game process and the whole issue of engagement. So I've given you kind of an overview. I haven't gone real detail, but I hope I've gone detail enough to just get your inquiry, your curiosity about this game's approach and the value it has and how you can impact individuals and groups and teams in a more impactful and far deeper and more meaningful way just by engaging them in a different way of learning. And that way of learning is games. I'm going to be introducing three games in January when I have my training from January 28th to the 30th. And the games will be, I'll be doing the Ma'at Harmony game that I talked about earlier from ancient Egypt. We'll be doing the masquerade game, going to the carnival and deepening our self-awareness. And we'll be doing another game about wellness and how we look at ourselves from the outside looking in and how we can strengthen that perspective. And if you have an interest in being more innovative, in talking to different audiences and helping them to dig deeper into who they are, into gaining more meaning in their life, more interaction, more engagement, then I highly encourage you to consider this game's approach. So what I invite you to do is to send me an email and send it to coaching@normahollis.com. That's coaching@normahollis.com. And it would be great if you put in the subject line just the word games, and that way I'll know what you're about and that you're coming from Tanya's call. And I will anxiously respond and look forward to the opportunity to having a conversation with you so that we can discuss what the games approach could mean for you. Now, this games approach doesn't really matter what your message is. There can be a game made for every message. And it doesn't mean that you have to have a full day game. It doesn't mean that you have to have a full costume, full out game. I also do my legacy one where I do the masquerade. I also do that as a one-on-one where I give people an assignment, and it's done on an individual basis, not on a group basis. There's multiple ways to do the games approach. The biggest thing is that no matter what approach you take, the benefits are phenomenal because the retention rate, you know, when you're speaking, the retention rate is generally only 7%. But when you're interacting and you're engaged and involved, the percentage is a whole lot different, a lot higher. And I'm sure that's what we all want when we speak, to be memorable and to impact our audiences and have a high rating of engagement in what we do and what we share. So if you want to make that kind of impact, I definitely can help you. I look forward to it. I want to help you. All you need to do is reach out to me through an email, coaching@normahollis.com. Or if you have any questions, as a matter of fact, if you have any questions, you can push *2 and connect right now, and I'd be more than happy to answer them. Thank you, Tanya.